can't help it. Told you, you let me go preaching on the Lord Jesus. I tell you, He gets big in me. He gets big in me. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. You need to try it sometime. And just get full of Him, full of everything you can about learning about Him. And then try to talk about, amen, what He showed you about Himself. And I'm telling you, you won't be able to contain it. You won't be able to contain it. Mark chapter number 1, let's stand together. We'll read our few verses. And I'll close out this section as we've begun a study on the life of Christ using the gospel according to Mark. There's only one gospel. It's not four gospels. There's one gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And four men were used to pin down what that message is of the life of the Lord Jesus. One gospel. And we're using Mark as the template to lead us through that. And boy, I tell you, Mark, man, he starts out guns a-blazing. And I thank God for the truths the Lord's already showed us. Let's read our verses, verse number 9. Mark 1, verse number 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. There came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Amen. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd settle in among us around the Word of God tonight. Lord, we don't have any new philosophy. Lord, we don't have, Lord, some new age way of presenting, Lord, some stories or to stir somebody's emotion tonight. Lord, all we have is that same old story of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, it worked for us one day and drew us, Lord, to Him. Lord, is still drawing men and women and boys and girls, Lord, unto salvation and the gospel message. I pray you'd do it again tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to make Jesus big, ourselves small. Make Him the preeminent thing and us, Lord, the little ones and, Lord, the weak ones and, Lord, the insignificant ones. Lord, in this service tonight, I pray every eye would see Him. The work that He's done on our behalf, that, Lord, we could be called the children of God. Lord, for all that You do tonight, we'll thank You and bless You. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Real quickly, let's bring ourselves up to where we ended this morning. We understand that Mark, in his writing, he does not begin with a genealogy. He does not begin with the announcement of the conception of the Lord Jesus in the virgin womb of Mary. He doesn't begin in Bethlehem where the Lord was born. Not that any of that is unimportant. But Mark seems to be pressed upon by the Spirit of God to find it needful to begin in this text, in this passage of what is known as the coronation and the beginning of the Lord's public and earthly ministry. This matter here begins at the baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan. The Bible said in our text verse, as we said this morning, and it came to pass in those days of hopelessness, days that all hope and all help had waned away. And Christ had been prophesied, it had been foretold and announced 30 years before the angels had sang about Him and His redemptive work He had come to do. 30 years before, the angel had showed up on several of occasions and had announced that a Savior had been sent from heaven to deliver men from their sins. The work that He would do, the purpose for which He had come, had been shouted across the wilderness side by shepherds and wise men. And many things had been said 30 years before. It seemed like in 30 years all that had been said of Him had fallen to the ground, had not come to pass, and was nowhere near coming to pass. The Bible said that it came to pass in those days. And I love the next three words, that Jesus came. We tried to emphasize for a few moments this morning, Jesus came. And thank God Jesus did come. And thank God He met us where we were. And thank God when men could not go to where Jesus was, the old songwriter said, He came to me. I'm glad, thank God. Somebody said, when did you come to the Lord? I came to the Lord when the Lord came to me. Amen. I wasn't looking for Him. I wasn't interested in Him. But thank God for the day that Jesus came. And amen. When He came to me, I got interested in Him. And thank God Jesus came. And we'd be in a mess tonight had Jesus not come. And had Jesus, my friend, dwelled in obscurity, had He just come to earth to pay us a little visit and go back to the Father's house, my friend, we'd all be of men most miserable, but thank God Jesus came. Amen. I can't get over that. I want to cut loose and preach right there again tonight. Amen. I'll go on, but the thought is, thank God He came. Thank God that He came. He came with a purpose. He came on time. He came in the will of God. He came, my friend, bringing hope and peace and joy. He came bringing everlasting life, eternal life. He came, my friend, with a mission in mind and a work to do. And thank God Jesus came. We looked at in verse number 9 to launch us into our thought. We looked at the place from whence that He came. The Bible is clear. He came from Nazareth of Galilee. And there hadn't been anything good ever come out of Nazareth. In fact, amen, Nazareth kind of had they had the mindset of Nazareth. And that was the bad side of the countryside. That was the other side of the tracks. And they said in John 1, can anything good come out of Nazareth? They may have never been nothing good come out of Nazareth before Jesus came, but amen, when Jesus came, something good came out of Nazareth. Amen. Again, He came bringing a good salvation. He came bringing a blessed hope. Amen. He came bringing a good fulfillment of all the prophecies that had ever been foretold. Amen. Thank God He came from Nazareth. Amen. We looked at the person to whom that He came. He came in particular to John the Baptist, identifying with this man of the wilderness, identifying with the voice of one sent from God, crying in the wilderness and preparing the way of the Lord. He identified with His message of faith in Christ and repentance from sin. He identified, my friend, with the demands that God had placed upon the mouth and the voice of John in the preaching that He did to call men and women and boys and girls to repentance. And so we sing the person to whom He came. And what we're focused in on in these verses is what John Mark has in mind. And that is the purpose for which He came. And the fact is, in these verses, He came, the Bible said, to be baptized of John in Jordan. And so we come to the subject and the time frame in the life of the Lord Jesus that many seem to push aside. They seem to brush by it as though it is a very insignificant event in the life of the Lord Jesus that it's just a blip on the radar, and it's not as important as feeding of the 5,000 and the raising of the dead and the calming of the storms. But I would say to you tonight, the baptism of Jesus is one of the most significant events in the life of the Lord Jesus for what it teaches you and I about our lovely Lord and Savior. He came to be baptized of John in Jordan. We noted that for a moment this morning in Jordan. Amen. And John was baptizing there, the Bible said, because there was much water there. And yet I believe it was all in the will of God that had that river that was so well known in the region. It wasn't the cleanest river. It wasn't the largest river. It a mad friend. In fact, had a stigma attached to it. You remember in the days of Naaman, when the prophet said, when he had leprosy, if you want to be cleansed, go down, dip yourself and wash yourself in the Jordan River seven times. You remember Naaman's response. He said, is there not greater rivers? And ain't there other rivers I can wash in? You mean I got to go down to that dirty old Jordan River? My friend, when he did, he found a cleansing from his leprosy. And the Jordan River was an eyewitness to the day that a leper was cleansed. Jordan River was eyewitness to the crossing of the children of Israel into Canaan's land when God, no doubt, amen, placed his presence in the midst of that river and parted its banks, and all the children walked across on dry ground. And what a scene had taken place in the Jordan River. Now, my friend, in Mark chapter number 1, the same God that stood there so many years before has come to be baptized in its waters one more time. Amen. The one who would take away the sin and cleanse those with spiritual leprosy is now immersed within, amen, its waters of reproach. And amen, the sin bearer has shown up. Amen. There, my friend, to be baptized. What events took place in the Jordan River? And so we've been looking at today the subject, simply the baptism of Jesus. That he came with a purpose in mind. He came to be baptized of John in the Jordan. We gave you one thought and elaborated on that. We gave you the second briefly. And I want to get to the third one tonight, if the Lord will help us. Amen. We're looking at these several truths about Jesus' baptism and teach us about Jesus and his coming to us as sinners. Thank God he came. And in his baptism, he is teaching you and I, amen, things about himself as he came to sinners where they were. We looked at this morning in the baptism of Jesus is the great evidence of the sinlessness of Jesus' life. The sinlessness of Jesus' life. We said this morning we have a perfect Savior. A Savior in whom is no guile, in whom is no blemish. Amen. One that, my friend, is without blemish. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. The one that Paul, the apostle would say, this Jesus and this Savior is harmless and is undefiled. Amen. The one that the Hebrews writer said is separate from sinners. What a blessing it is this evening to know that we have a sinless Savior. Jesus in his earthly life was absolutely perfect. Amen. He never done one thing to be counted against him as sin. Amen. The Bible said as by one man's disobedience, sin and death entered into the world. And yet by one man's obedience, many are made righteous. Thank God for the sinlessness of Jesus' life. I don't believe there's any greater evidence of this doctrinal truth than that of the baptism of Jesus. This thought allowed us to elaborate upon even ourselves when we consider the baptism of John and what he practiced and the different kinds of people that came to John and heard John preach and sought to be baptized of him. We looked at, according to Luke chapter number 3, we found that there were the religious in verses 7, 8, and 9. Compared to Matthew 3, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, a man showed up and said, what must we do? John said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath that is to come. And he laid in upon them, saying, say not unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. John the Baptist with a backbone like a saw log said, amen, God is able to raise in these stones a seed and sons unto Abraham.
And he began to warn them that the axe was being laid to the root. And every tree that beareth forth not good fruit, it is hewn down and is cast into the fire. John's message to the religious and showed up. Amen, was you must repent. You must turn from your sin and turn from your wicked ways. You may be religious, but your religion is not enough. And your religion will never bring you to the Savior. And so with that, my friend, came the message to repent. We looked at in verses 10 and 11 of Luke 3, the regulars. That is the common folk. Amen. When John got done with the religious people, amen, the regular folk said, and what must we do? John began to lay in upon them about a particular sin and plagued them and kept them from the kingdom of God. And his message, my friend, again, was simply, you must repent. Amen. You've got to allow God to change your ways. Amen. And so he said to them, repent. We see in verses 12 and 13 of Luke 3, the reviled or the rejects. How then the publican stand up next and say, amen, and what must we do? John began to lay in upon them about their sin. Amen, calling them again to repentance. And we found that, my friend, these religious and the regular folk of Judea and Jerusalem and the reviled and the rejects and the publicans that were there, my friend, John said to them who were Jews, you must repent. But in Luke 3, there's something interesting in verse 14. The Bible speaks that, and then the soldiers demanded of him, and what must we do? And John looked at those Roman Gentile soldiers, and he laid in upon them about their particular sins. John's message to them did not change. Amen. John didn't give them another way to be born again. Amen. John said, you're going to have to repent too. You see, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. Amen. God don't change his message for no one. Amen. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Give repentance toward God. Amen. To have justification and, my friend, salvation from our sin. Amen. I won't preach on all that again, but amen. We looked at the fifth kind of person that John baptized. Amen. Not only the religious and the regular and the reviled and the Romans. Amen. But in our text, we find that John baptized the Redeemer. Amen. And when we come to him, we find that John's treatment of Jesus was in direct opposition to his treatment of the others. Amen. When all the others came to him and said, what must we do? We want to be baptized. We want you to baptize us. And John said, ain't baptizing any of you till you repent. Amen. John had a grip on the thought. And all we like sheep had gone astray. We've turned everyone their own way. John had a grip before Paul ever pinned it down that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. John already had a grip on there is none righteous. No, not one. And John, my friend, every time somebody showed up, he said, you're a sinner and you've got to repent. Amen. But on that day when the Lamb of God came walking up the Jordan banks, amen, and John said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He never demanded of him repentance. He never demanded of him to change his ways. Amen. You know why? Amen. Jesus had no sin in him. He had no fault. He had no greed. He had no lies that he had told. He wasn't a scoundrel and a cheat. Amen. He wasn't a fornicator and immoral. Amen. He wasn't somebody clinging to some earthly pedigree and religious system to save him. Oh no, friend, he was the Redeemer sent from God. Amen. The perfect man, the God man, the Redeemer of our sin. Amen. And so Jesus was the only man John ever baptized who never repented because he was sinless. In fact, John said when Jesus showed up, Amen. You come to me to be baptized of me. I have need to be baptized of you. And so we get a glimpse into the heart and the humility of John the Baptist, who identifies himself as a sinner in need of a redemption by a sinless lamb. You see, John had it in mind when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He had in mind what Peter would write about years later. And my friend, our sins, we have been, my friend, redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, as of the vain traditions and conversations you received of your fathers. Peter said, but rather you are redeemed by, amen, the blood of the Lamb, slain as without spot and without blemish. Amen. And so in the baptism of Jesus, we see the elevation of Him and the presentation of Him to our hearts. Amen. Concerning the sinlessness of Jesus' life. I'm glad we have a perfect Savior. Amen. He was sinless yet. Amen. That presentation that was made. Amen. We see a sinlessness in His obedience in that hour. He said, John, when John resisted, He said, we've got to do this because it's right. Amen. It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Amen. Jesus said, I got to be baptized because it's in the will of God. God, it's right. God has directed this. And so, my friend, in everything He did, He is sinless because He is in obedience to His Father. I would remind you, I didn't say it this morning, but here's what Jesus said. Amen. Years later in His earthly ministry, He said, I do always those things which please my Father. Amen. Again, I would remind you what Paul said. Amen. It's by one man's disobedience many were made unrighteous. Amen. But it is by one man, Jesus Christ, in His obedience, and many are made righteous. Amen. Rebellion got us in a mess, and rebellion keeps us from eternal life. And thank God Jesus has the sinless life that He lived. Amen. Lived in obedience to the Heavenly Father. And what a blessing that is to our life. And you and I, who are the children of disobedience, amen, are saved by the Son of obedience. Amen. God no longer sees you and I when we repent of our sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and all He done for our salvation. He no longer sees you and I as children of disobedience, but He sees you and I in the image of His Son. Amen. A Son who was sinless. A Son, my friend, who never erred. Amen. In the eyes of a perfect Savior. I'm trying to get off this again. Can you tell it thrills me? Amen. I ain't trusting some Pope who's a man. Amen. Like you and I. Amen. I'm not trusting in, my friend, some preacher and some bishop. Amen. Of an earthly realm that, amen, came from the same gene pool you and I did. Has sin running in his veins. Has a dirty heart and an unclean mind and impure hands. Oh no. Amen. My salvation rests in the sinlessness of Jesus' life. Amen. He who knew no sin, amen, was made sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. And so in the baptism of Jesus, amen, this is not something to set over to the side. This is not something, my friend, to skim over when you're reading through the gospel accounts. Amen. This event ought to bless our soul. Amen. For it is the evidence of a sinless, a perfect Savior who offers a perfect salvation.
Amen.
Amen. And so I'll leave off there. We mentioned briefly as we ended this morning that in the baptism of Jesus is seen and elevated and magnified not only the sinlessness of Jesus' life, but it magnifies the sovereignty of Jesus' person. We find the baptism of Jesus is the greatest evidence of the deity of Jesus Christ. My friend, He is God in the flesh. In the baptism of Jesus, I'll say it again quickly and I'm moving on. I've got several things I want to give you on this last point, but amen, the doctrine of the Trinity is magnified and is proven to be absolutely in line with Scripture. You see in Genesis 1, in the creation of man, God said, "Let us make man in our own image." And God did. After God's own image and God's own likeness, God made a man. Amen. God named him Adam, placed him in a garden. Man was made in the very image and the likeness of a triune God. Amen. And so this is a doctrine that is greatly confusing, amen, to many realms of religion. And if you let the Bible bear witness of it, there's no confusion. Amen. Trinitarian doctrine is in line with the Word of God. And in the baptism of Jesus, you'll find, amen, no greater evidence of the Trinity and of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ in particular, amen, than in any other place in all the Word of God. Amen. For it is in the baptism of Jesus we find the appearance of the Son. In verse number 9, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. And so there is the appearing of the Son. In verse number 10, you have the anointing of the Spirit. A Spirit, the Bible said, and the capital S Spirit, like a dove descending upon Him. And then, my friend, in verse number 11, you have the approval of the Father. As the voice of God spake from glory, amen, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Oh, there's a lot can be preached here. It gets deep. Amen. It is, Brother Tim, a deep well. It gets you out of the kitty end of the pool. Amen. You ain't ankle deep when you dive into some of these truths that are talked about and are, my friend, blown out the pages of Holy Writ to you and I. In the simple subject of the baptism of Jesus. Amen. Thank God that the Son appeared. Amen. Thank God the Holy Ghost came down. Thank God the Father spake from glory. Amen. And may I say, as we just kind of bumped it in passing this morning, He did not say, thou hast become my Son. Amen. He wasn't a man who became the Son of God. He is the Son of God in the Trinity from eternity past and shall be throughout all eternity and all the eternal ages. He's the Son without beginning and the Son without end. He is God's only begotten Son as far as the world is concerned. Amen. But He is the Son that existed. Amen. In absolute unity with the Father from before the very beginning. Amen. Jesus said, my Father and I, we are one. Amen. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Somebody ought to help me preach right here. Amen. Our Savior, the one who saved us. Amen. He is not a man as we are men. Amen. He's the God-man. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And John the Beloved said, don't you ever forget it, and the Word was God. Amen. I'm glad tonight to know I ain't deceived by Mormonism. Amen. Let me preach a minute right here. Amen. These bunch of Mormons in church and Latter-day Saints, amen, coming in our own town and spreading their false gospel. Amen. Jesus did not become the Son of God. Jesus was always the Son of God. Amen. And He evermore shall be the Son of God. Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. In the baptism of Jesus, it makes Joseph Smith to be a liar. It makes the Book of Mormon out to be exactly what it is, a false gospel. Our Savior, amen, is absolutely God. Somebody help me preach. Amen. I know where I am. Amen. Some of y'all believing in this community, I know I'm on the radio and it needs to be said. Amen. This crowd peddling their false religion. Amen. Downplaying. Amen. The deity of the Son of God. Amen. The Father didn't say He became the Son of God. He said, Thou art my beloved Son. Amen. Jesus said in John 17, hallelujah. He said, Lord and Father. Amen. He said, I can't wait. And we have that unity we've had from eternity past. And we're joined back together one more time. Amen. I'm glad I know who Jesus is.
Amen.
Amen. Become the Son of God, my hind leg.
Amen.
Amen. This crowd running around. Amen. I know they're getting a foothold in Newport and Cobb County. Amen. Problem is they ain't read the Word of God. Amen. They may kick me off the radio and that'll be fine. Amen. Amen. I'm preaching on the street corner. Bless God. I'm telling you. Amen. In the baptism of Jesus, there is the magnifying of the sovereignty of Jesus' person. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And as such, He has the authority of God upon His life. Amen. And all of that is evidenced at the baptism of John. I won't go back to Mark 11 and when they asked the Lord, by what authority do you do these things? Amen. Maybe I just did go back there, didn't I? Amen. He said, amen. Jesus said, well, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. By what authority did John baptize? Amen. And them old scribes and Pharisees began to reason and they said, well, if we say it was of God, then we'll be in trouble. He's going to say, that. Why then did you not believe Him? And they said, but if we say His baptism was of men, then the Bible said they feared because all the people believed John to be a prophet sent from God. And so they answered, amen, in the most ignorant way they could. Said, we cannot tell. Jesus looked at them, Brother Joe, and said, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. Amen, Jesus told them, amen, what Jesus is telling them is if you won't recognize the authority by which John had on his life, and John, the Word of God said, was a man sent from God. He didn't come preaching his own message. He came preaching what God had told him to preach. He came magnifying who Jesus was. And Jesus is saying, if you won't recognize His authority, and you don't recognize my authority, amen, if you don't believe what He said about me, if you don't believe what the Father said about me in my baptism, if you don't recognize what the Holy Ghost said, and He descended on me like a dove and John's baptism, amen, then I'm not going to deal with you anymore. There's no need in reasoning and arguing with you. You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying they some about the baptism and I received from John the authority He had. Amen. God put His authority on me. Amen. When the triune God showed up on that day. Amen. That's good preaching right there.
Amen.
I got 10 minutes. I told y'all I'd let you out at 7:03 tonight. Amen. It ain't looking good, Brother Mike. Amen. I just feel like preaching about something. Amen. You say, preach, you ought not call names. I think we ought to call names. I'm sick of folk dragging folk to hell. Amen. I'm sick of it, friend. I'm sick of it.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen. Notice with me not only the sinlessness of Jesus' life and the sovereignty of Jesus' person. Notice with me tonight, I think the greatest truth and reason and magnification in the baptism of Jesus is the fact that it elevates the significance of Jesus' work. Amen. May I say this evening, Jesus came. When He came, He was sinless. When He came, He was the sovereign Son of God. But Jesus came to do one primary work that inspires the core of what the gospel message really is. To die according to the Scriptures. To be buried and to rise again the third day according to the Scriptures. Jesus would do a lot of work in His life. And obviously that work was vitally important. He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He would tell His disciples often that I have meat to eat that you know not of, signifying the work that He would do on a daily basis throughout His public ministry. May I say the Lord was a working servant. There were sick that needed healing. There were multitudes that needed instruction. There were blind who needed their eyes opened. There were lame who needed to be made to walk. There were lepers who needed to be cleansed. There were dead that needed to be raised to life. There were storms that needed to be calmed. There were prayers that needed to be prayed. There were things that the Lord did in His earthly life. He did a work from day to day.
Amen.
But in light of everything the Lord did and every work that He was sent to do, there was one primary job that He had. That was to go to bloody Calvary and lay down His life, yield up the ghost and finish that work in the blood atonement, to be buried in a borrowed tomb. And yet, my friend, though He were dead, He must rise again the third day. I believe the baptism of Jesus reveals as great a portrayal of Jesus' work as we can find in all of the life of the Lord Jesus. The fact that, my friend, He was baptized to coronate and to begin and engage in His public ministry that would ultimately end in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. That to begin all of His work, He did something that signified the ultimate work that He had come to do. And so, my friend, He comes to John, and the Bible said in our text, He came to be baptized of John in Jordan. May I say, His baptism reflects to you and I the significance of His work. How? Three things, Brother Jack, and I'm done. Number one, the mode of His baptism. The mode of His baptism. The word used in verse number 9 of our text, baptized, literally means to make whelmed. That is fully, to be fully wet. It means literally to cover fully. And is the practice of immersion in water. You see, when Jesus came to be baptized, John was not a sprinkler. And John did not practice a mode of baptism that involved simply pouring a little water upon a man's head. Amen. The baptism and the mode by which John the Baptist baptized a mad friend entailed going all the way into the water. From the top of the head to the bottom of the foot, a man would be immersed in the Jordan River. Amen. And raised back up, signifying, amen, the work that Jesus came to do. Amen. Y'all hang with me. I'm gonna preach. Amen. This mode of baptism is not only the scriptural mode of baptism, but it is the only way to show Christ's work that He came to do. You understand that when we baptize around here, amen, then we practice this mode of immersion. Every other mode is a false mode. Amen. In fact, in Christianity, amen, this is the mode that has always been practiced. Amen. Then a bunch of Catholics come up with the mode of sprinkling. Amen. And trying to get babies baptized, they went to sprinkling. Amen. Because they're killing their own infants, trying to immerse them in water. Amen. And they was dying, my friend, of drowning. Amen. And so we understand, amen, that this mode, it is the only way to signify the work that Jesus did. You remember that, and I don't know that things have to be said this exact way. Amen. But when we baptize around here, amen, what do we say to the new convert? What do we say to the believer? What do we say to the one who's repented of their sin? We say, I baptize you now, my brother or my sister, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Being buried with him. Amen. In the likeness of his death, buried and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. You see, my friend, in the holding of the breath is a signification that life is changed. In the immersion in the water is the signification that Christ was buried and put away within the borrowed tomb. My friend, the raising of life and the raising out of the water and the restoration of the breath that is in man signifies his resurrection. Amen. May I say the fact that Jesus was baptized. Amen. Oh, what an event. And oh, what a scene. My friend was seen on that day. And Jesus went down in the water and John raised him up. Amen. Christ was saying, I've come to do a work. I may do a lot of things in the next 3.5 years. Don't you ever forget what I've come to do. Don't you ever let it slip. Amen. What I have shown up to do, amen, is just in line with the Word of God. Amen. You better believe it is. Jesus would teach all through his life. Amen. As a corn of wheat must fall in the ground. And then it brings forth much fruit. He said, even so much the Son of God, amen, be betrayed in the hands of sinners and be slain and rise again the third day. Amen. Jesus over and over and over in his life. I'm not saying they all grasped it. I'm not saying they all fully understood it. Amen. But Jesus went about and said, I've got to die. I've got to be buried, but I'll rise again. Amen. Paul the apostle makes mention, amen, of this matter, the mode of baptism and what it signifies to you and I. In Romans chapter number 6, here's what Paul said. Know you not, verse 3, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Jesus was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Amen. That the body of sin might be destroyed. And henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen. Paul got a hold of it. Amen. Paul said, you remember. Amen. You remember in the baptism, in the mode of immersion baptism. Amen. Fully wet, fully covered. And in that is a description signifying the death that Christ would die. And my friend, he would be buried, but he didn't stay there. He lives. He lives. He lives. And that is the message of the gospel in the baptism of Jesus. And thank God Jesus' work was to be accomplished. We see it in the mode of his baptism. We see it. I promise 7:03. Amen. If y'all come back Wednesday night, I'll have you out at 7:55. All right. Notice not only the mode of his baptism. Notice with me the mediation in his baptism. Talking about the significance of his work. Oh, don't miss this. The Bible said in our text he came to be baptized of John in Jordan. Would you go back with me to what Matthew said in Matthew 3? Amen. I'll be done in a minute. Amen. Matthew chapter number 3. Notice the mediation in his baptism. Matthew 3. Bible said in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Does that sound familiar? John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. Look at what Jesus said, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. I told you this morning, one of the aspects of what Jesus is saying is we've got to do this because it's right. I want to be in obedience to my Father. But notice with me the word thus. This phrase that Jesus gives, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. But Jack, the word thus seems like it's a small word, but consider the meaning. The word thus is a word referring to similitudes. It literally means in like manner or in a similar way. Amen. In other words, Jesus is saying, John, my baptism is a similitude to the work I've come to do. I've come to bring righteousness. I've come to complete a work. I've come to do for man what man cannot do in himself. John, we must baptize me because that is after like manner. That is in a similar way. That is a portrayal of the work that I've come to do to mediate upon behalf of those who are unrighteous. The word fulfill, Brother Tim, oh, it's a good word. I don't know if y'all can stand it. I probably shouldn't even give it to you. Y'all will be shouting, amen, busting pews out the floor. You know what the word fulfill means? It means to complete or to bring about in its fullness. To complete or bring about in its fullness. Amen. Man could never bring about his own righteousness.
Amen. That's right.
Candy man could never bring about a completion of righteousness before God. Jesus said, I've come, John, to fulfill what man can't do. John, I've come to do a work that no man's ever been able to do. All the work in the Levites and the high priests all these years, and all the work of Adam and all the work of Noah and all the work of Abraham, it was never enough to establish righteousness. And I've come, and John, I've got to be baptized. Amen, because it is a depiction, it is signifying of the work of mediation that I have come to do. I've come to bring it to a completed end.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So Christ is the end of the law. The work He came to do and the work He did in His death and His burial and His resurrection. Amen. It is a mediatorial work whereby, my friend, we who could never come to God, amen, now have a way to God. Amen. I'm glad Jesus' baptism depicts, amen, in similitude the work of His mediation to secure the salvation and righteous standing of sinners that only can come by faith in the work according to the Scripture. Amen. You say, preacher, are you righteous tonight? I am absolutely righteous in Jesus. I am unrighteous outside of Him. I am unrighteous and ungodly and deserving of wrath and deserving of judgment and am still under condemnation outside of Christ. But in Christ, in Him, a man who died and was buried and rose again, amen, I have found a mediator. I have found my day's mate. I have found a go-between. I have found one to stand on my account. And His work, it is enough. It is enough. Mediation. Mediation. This is why Christ was baptized. He had no sin. Why then was He baptized? He was signifying, I have come to take the place. Oh, hallelujah. For all that crowd, John's been telling to repent. All that crowd that has been trying to find a way into the kingdom of God. Amen, John, what must we do? John, what must we do? John, what must we do? And John said, all of your sinners, and unless you believe on the Son of God and believe on His name, you don't have eternal life. And unless you repent of your sin, you'll all likewise perish. Amen. Jesus came to be baptized, not because He had anything to repent of. And in that baptism, He was showing His mediatorial work. And man, friend, He was taking on that. It was upon sinful men. I'm glad we got a mediator tonight. Amen. We have a mediator, and bless His holy name for the work that He accomplished on our behalf. Amen. Can I give you the last one? Amen. It's pretty good. Amen. I think you'll want it. I think you'll feel shortchanged if I don't give it to you. Amen. Amen. Notice with me the message after His baptism. Why do I say the baptism of Jesus is not something to brush by? I think, I'm not telling you I'm much of a preacher, but I think in the 2 hours of preaching and better y'all have heard me do today on the baptism of Jesus, I've given you enough already to say that's a big deal.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But let me add to it. Can I enlarge upon it one more time? You know, Jesus spake of His baptism. After that, He was baptized, and it was associated with a definite message that He wanted to get across. Amen. Go with me to Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. I hope y'all are enjoying these studies. Luke chapter number 12 and in verse number 50. Jesus said, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with." Jesus, I thought you was already baptized. Yeah, He was by John in the Jordan. But that signified a work that Jesus had to do. And now Jesus is coming back to this subject of His baptism. He said, "I have a baptism. I have a baptism." Amen. "I have a baptism to be baptized with." Now notice what He says about this baptism. "And how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" Y'all see that big exclamation point at the end there? You see, I believe even in the King James Bible, I believe every jot and every tittle, I believe even the exclamation marks. I believe the punctuation marks are inspired.
Amen.
Y'all say amen right there.
Amen.
Tell that liberal crowd I said so.
Yes, sir.
Jesus is saying this with passion. He's saying it with, Miss Maddie, He's saying it with emotion. He's saying it with an excitement. "I have a baptism wherewith I am to be baptized with." He said, "And how am I straightened?" That word "straightened," Brother Joe, it literally means, it doesn't mean the Lord is stiff or anything. It means simply to constrain, to compel, or to press on. Jesus is saying, I am being constrained to this baptism. I'm being pressed on to a work that I have to do. Amen. Amen. Hold your place there. Look with me in Mark chapter number 11. I'm coming back to Luke 12. Hold your place. What was this baptism? Jesus says in Mark 10 verse 35, James and John said to the Lord, "Master, we would that Thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we desire." He said unto them, "What would ye that I should do for you?" They said unto Him, "Grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand, the other on the left hand in Thy glory." Notice what Jesus said unto them. "Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of?" Where did Jesus drink the cup at? Y'all remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord in His prayer prior to His crucifixion said, Father, if there be any way, let this cup pass from me. The cup was in reference to part of the work that He was getting ready to do upon Golgotha's hill. I won't get into all the cup and all that that signifies other than to say He's talking about the work He's going to do at Calvary. Notice He said, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. He's dealing with when He says, amen, baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. You bring that back to Luke chapter number 12 and in verse number 50 where the Lord says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. He is referencing that work that is going to involve Him going to Calvary, laying His life down on an old rugged cross, bearing our sin debt, doing the work only He can do until He is able to look to His heavenly Father and say, it is finished. Die, be buried, and raise again the third day. Jesus referenced that work as His baptism. But He'd been baptized 3.5 years earlier. Why? Because there was a message that follows after that baptism. I imagine James and John said, what do you mean a baptism you're going to be baptized with? You've already been baptized, Lord. Lord, you've already been the Jordan. John the Baptist is not even around anymore. What do you mean a baptism? But he was speaking of, amen, the work that he had ultimately come to do. And notice back in Luke chapter number 12, notice, amen, and how am I straitened? I am constrained. I am compelled. I am pressed on. I am pressed on until I do this work. Notice he said, till it be accomplished. The word accomplished. Y'all ready for this? Brother Riley, it means similar to the word fulfilled that the Lord used, but this word means to end. It means to complete, execute, and conclude. The word accomplished literally means, Brother Mo, to discharge a debt.
Amen.
Jesus said, I may have been baptized by John in Jordan, but that was only signifying the work. There is a greater baptism. I'm getting ready to be baptized into, amen, an agony beyond human comprehension, an agony of a load of sin that is getting ready to be poured out upon me. And I'm getting ready to be immersed with Him. I'm getting ready to be immersed within a tomb as my body yields up its life. Amen. I'm being ready to be baptized. But anytime one is baptized, they're not only immersed in the water, there is a raising up from that work.
Amen.
Jesus said, I have come to be baptized with a baptism. And I will press on. I will continue until that baptism is accomplished and the debt is discharged. Y'all are sinners, but Jesus was baptized in bloody Calvary and baptized in a borrowed tomb and raised again to newness of life that the debt that was against us could be released. Brother Charlie, this word accomplish. Oh, Lord, I don't think y'all can stand it. I know I preached an hour again. I don't think y'all can stand it, though. It doesn't just merely mean, doesn't mean merely just to end something. It means to carry it out to absolute perfection.
Amen.
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 Christ's baptism by John signified the greater baptism that was his work to do, and is the message of the gospel. What is the message of the gospel? Four words. Jesus did it all. There's no more work to be done. Brother Joe, Jesus did it all. Preacher, all of that and the immersion of Jesus' body in the Jordan. Oh yeah. When he got his public ministry started, he was saying, I've come to do something you can't even fully comprehend in this moment of time. But I'm going to pay a debt. There's a message in my baptism. Ain't you thankful for that? I'm glad I know the Savior tonight. If you don't know Him, if you've never come to know the power of the gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first, the religious, the regulars, even the reviled and the rejects, the publicans and sinners, those Jews that came to John to hear His message and to attempt to enter the kingdom of God, but also to a bunch of Gentile Roman soldiers. There was a message when they seen Jesus baptized that day that He indeed had come to do a work that none of us could do. Jesus did it all.